Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Rolling on a Super Tuesday. Darth Chosen is laughing at me. He says, Mark, you say Florida's a national brand. Look at the roster. LaGrange, Georgia. Gainesville, Florida. Gainesville, Florida. Manville, Texas. Mount Holly, New Jersey. Tampa, Florida. Orange City, Florida. Furman has more out-of-region players. Ha ha, wishful thinking, though. Touche, Darth Chosen. Was great to hang out with you over New Year's, my man. Let's see here. Shadow of Death Valley tweets into the show. He says, sure, lots of Gamecock homers on the Big Spur 247 were convinced that Gunnar Stockton was coming. They also made him out to be the next coming of Joe Montana, but now only want kids who want to be there. Whatever that means, you love to see it. There is no love lost between the two sides here. There is no doubt about that. I feel, Diesel, that, you know, in terms of hatred of this rivalry, it's certainly up there in terms of just the disdain, the contempt, the total lack of respect between these rivalries in the Palmetto rivalry. But I did notice something last night that I want to bring up, okay? And I think this is really interesting. I was contacted, you know, you might imagine during a game like the national championship game, my phone, people are texting it, and I'm not trying to act like I'm some big deal, but, you know, a bunch of friends knowing what I do, they text me during a game like that. I heard from a number of Clemson people last night, a number, and they all had the exact same message. The message was, Yeah, we didn't want none of this. We didn't want none of this from Alabama. Yeah, no, we're good. We're good. We're cool with how it worked out. We're fine. And then I said to them, I said, okay, well, why don't you say that publicly? And all of them said, nah, man, I'm not going down that road.
You know
why? Why not?
You know what I've seen is the biggest difference that when I watch just all of college football, when Alabama players. Defenders make a big play. They blow somebody up out of bounds. They don't stand over them. They don't celebrate. They don't gloat. They don't get stupid penalties. They knock a guy out of bounds, immediately turn around and run back to their sideline. Have you noticed that?
Completely.
They don't get stupid, undisciplined penalties because, I mean, your team threw a shoe. And it probably cost. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, your team threw a shoe.
It's too soon for that.
Could you ever see an Alabama player throwing a shoe? Would never happen because they're far too disciplined for that. I'm not saying they haven't gotten a single penalty because somebody will go look at their stats. Oh, in week two of the season last year, they got an unsportsmanlike. I'm not saying they don't ever get them.
But you see it.
Rarely get them.
It's a program culture.
Right.
And that to me is the thing that is the most impressive about what Nick Saban has done is the buy-in that he gets of discipline, of work ethic, of doing things the right way. Every single player buys in, and if they doubt anything, he points to his rings. He points to all the guys in the NFL. You know, Diesel, what the programs do now is they have all these plaques and, you know, plaques and awards of those guys who left that are now in the NFL, and they'll even have like number 13 pick in the 1998 draft. They put all their first rounders on there to show incoming recruits that yeah, you can achieve that here. Now I want to play No, I don't want to play. Sorry about that, Diesel. I'm not gonna do that to you. It's interesting though, as you look at kind of what happened in this game and how it shook out, 52-24. We had a contest on this show in terms of who could pick the closest score. Who had the? You guys participated in that yesterday. A big congratulations to Greg Wilkins. He won. Greg Wilkins won. His winning score was 45-20. That was a 25-point differential. The actual differential was 28 points. And if you factor in the score of the game, 52-24, he was 7 points off on Alabama. He was 4 points off on Ohio State. That was the closest. But unbelievably, I didn't have anybody. There was nobody that had a score of in the 50s for Alabama and a score of in the 20s for Ohio State. Not a single person that participated in this yesterday had that in effect. I want to also share with you guys a couple of stats from last night here. All right, and a couple of stats on Alabama that just really highlight their dominance, their utter dominance under Nick Saban. Alabama has been favored, ladies and gentlemen. Now use this, share this at your office water cooler, and sound like the smartest guy in the room. All right, Alabama has been favored in 151 of their last 152 games. They have been the Las Vegas betting favorite in 151 out of 152 games. Absolutely insane, right? The one game they were an underdog 4 years ago against Georgia, you know how much they were an underdog by? 1 point. Guess what the result of that game was? It was in Athens, Alabama at Georgia. They were an underdog by a point. They won by 28. That's what happens when you make Alabama an underdog. You don't like them when they're angry. They've been a favorite in 151 out of 152 bloody games. The last 10 years for Nick Saban at Alabama, last 10, he's lost a total of 12 games in 10 years. Florida lost 4 this year alone. 3 years to 12 at Florida if they have other years like this year. Nick Saban is losing 1.2 yards, 1.2 games a year over a decade. Over a decade at the University of Alabama. It is absolutely positively amazing. It is truly something to behold. My impressions last night, just totally unstoppable. You know, I felt better about Florida losing to Alabama. I even felt better about Florida defensively. Remember how bad they looked against Alabama? Couldn't stop them at all. Who can? Who can stop this team, man? They put up 52 points on Florida. They put up 52 points against Ohio State. Ohio State was supposed to have a good defense. What happened there? I thought Steve Sarkisian was a witch in the ways in which he continued to invent different schemes to get Devontae Smith open. Devontae Smith had over 200 yards in the first half. You know, look, all you can say is the guy looks like he's playing checkers to everyone's chess on this level. He just looks totally indefensible. And then you kind of go inside the numbers on Devontae Smith, and here's what you find. He's not the biggest. He's not the fastest. He's not the strongest. So how come when I see him, he's always wide open? No one can ever track him down. He does have good speed. He does have 4.4 speed, but that's not the fastest guy on the football field. And I hate to do this to him, but you know who else had that skill set? Wasn't the biggest guy, wasn't the fastest guy, but you put him on a football field and he just dominates? Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice had I mean, look up the scouting reports from Jerry Rice. Not the fastest, small school, not the biggest, but makes plays. Devontae Smith, 4.4 speed, good speed, not track speed, but good speed, but small in stature, and unbelievably, just dominates every single team that they play, man. Every single team that they play. What was your biggest takeaway from the national championship game last night? At least we know who the national championship champion is. And I also would say, you know, how good does it feel that we made it to the end? You know, that we didn't know how this whole thing was going to play out. We all had our theories, man. This is going to be a nightmare. This is going to be a nightmare You know, with this is going to be a nightmare because kids are going to be on campus. You're going to have a spread of cases. And we did, to a degree. You had a lot of coaches get this. I don't know how Dabo Swinney never got it, but Nick Saban got it. Ryan Day got it. The two coaches in the national championship game have had COVID-19. The broadcaster, Kirk Herbstreit, of the national championship game had it. But, folks, we did it. And I give us all credit for this. I give us all a pat on the back for this. We persevered. We got through a college football season. And for all the doubt about whether we should have done it, I think we can now all answer in the affirmative that it is absolutely positively the best thing. All right. Darth Chosen says, Mark, I love you, my brother. My jokes come from a kind, warm, caring place deep, deep down. He says, publicly, I'm kind of glad Clemson didn't play Alabama this year, because if Ohio State did that to Clemson, Alabama would have put up 100 points. I mean, that's exactly the thing. Young Wavy says, man, I am 100% convinced, 100% convinced Alabama would have blown us out. And Susan Lloyd responds, so I forgot about this tweet last night, but here it is. At least two of us admitted we thought this game could have been bad for Clemson football. Credit to Susan for actually tagging Clemson football in that. Diesel, your big takeaway from the game last night?
Well, I kind of already blew mine there a little bit. It's just the discipline that Alabama athletes show. Again, they don't get the stupid. How infuriated were you when your player threw a shoe and you thought, man, we have an opportunity?
And guess what that guy did too? Guess what he did, Diesel? The guy who threw the shoe opted out of the bowl game after the SEC championship game.
Yeah.
And I tweeted, like, some Gator fans were upset about that. And I was like, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, man.
Right.
Get the hell out of here. You throw a shoe that cost us a chance at the playoff, and then you opt out of the bowl game?
Yeah.
You, who threw the shoe.
I remember.
Get the hell out of here.
I remember a specific play. It was deep in the second quarter, might have been third quarter, and Ohio State was on a drive, and a receiver had caught the ball, was running down the sideline. Alabama linebacker just blew him up, like knocked him into the first row, hit him that hard, and he stopped, immediately turned around and ran back to the sideline. How often do you see something like that get another 15 yards tacked on? Because once he blows him up, he starts going nuts. His friends on the team come over, and they all start going nuts, and you get a 15-yard penalty on you. That stuff doesn't happen at Alabama.
It just doesn't, man. It doesn't. Check on our text line. Let's see here. Mark, I won the 2000 South Carolina High School Baseball State Championship, but I won the class clown too. I won most gullible, Diesel, for a prank that I fell for that I will never share on the air. I got a bumper sticker that says I smile because I have no idea what's going on. All right. So anyway, I'm very proud of that. Very proud of that fact. Most gullible in school. Ole Miss and Florida scored more on Alabama, 48 and 46 points, than both playoff games, both playoff teams, Notre Dame and Ohio State, did combined, 38 points. Great stat, man. Thank you. Florida outscored Alabama 29-17 in the second half. That's impressive seeing what we see now. That's even with all the mistakes that UF made. And Panda texts in that the key takeaway is that Steve Sarkisian should have asked for more money from Texas. I'll dispute that, Panda. I'll dispute that for this reason. You know, Steve Sarkisian is benefiting from the system that's in place at Alabama. By the time he gets his hands on Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris, they are completely fine-tuned specimens. He goes to Texas, he's getting a broken-down clunker from the junkyard, all right? And he's got to make that in to what he was given at Alabama. The system made all those players what they are. And then, you know, just calling plays does not make you a leader of men. We'll see how he does. I wish him well in his second chance. All right, coming up next on the show, we will hear from Josh Pate, the national video director from 24/7 Sports. Josh is going to tell us, in his best words, why Nick Saban is as successful as he is. That is coming your way next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. I don't know how you can have any words other than complete and total respect for what Alabama's doing right now. Nick Saban and all of his national championships, 12 losses in the last 10 years. Are you kidding me? 1.2 losses a year. A favorite in 151 of their last 152 games. The one game they were an underdog, it was by 1 point. Against Georgia, they won that game by 28 points. It's just, you're blown away. You're just blown away. And everyone keeps looking for that one secret ingredient that Alabama's doing. You know, we had John U. Bacon on the show, the author, and he said 75% of the big boys in college football are cheating. So are those programs that are cheating paying players better than others, or do they have a significant advantage here that the layman is not able to ever see? I'm not going to accuse Alabama of cheating because I don't know that they're in that 25%. I do know that the more people try to look for the Nick Saban secret ingredient, the more they can't find it. It's every little detail he's better than you at, every single one. And until he's better than you at all of them, he obsesses about it to no end. Joining us right now is the National Director of Video for 24/7 Sports. Josh Pate joins us right now on the show. Josh, Happy New Year, brother. I am violating a rule of my producer to wish people a Happy New Year this many days after the beginning. But it is our first time talking to you here in the new year, man, and hope you're doing well. How are things, bud?
Oh, well, they are improving. I'll say that. They're trending in the right direction, Mark, so you can't ask for more.
Josh, I will touch on that, if you don't mind, here early, because I don't think most in our audience know. They tell us, Josh, that 92% of our audience is not on Twitter. So Josh Pate posted recently that he has been battling COVID-19. And I think you posted, Josh, that you had loss of taste and smell. You had a fever. You had chills. I'm not sure what the fatigue was like for you. Would you say, Josh, this was the sickest you've ever been?
Yeah, I lost 16 pounds. That's what really sucked. Well, first off, let me, in all seriousness, it could have been a lot worse. So I understand that. But Yeah, it wasn't fun, man. I wish I could say I was asymptomatic, but I was anything but that. So, I mean, I guess that's the price I pay for going home for Christmas. So staying in Tennessee for a little while.
You know what, man? Josh was still putting out content when he had COVID-19, and you didn't see him, you know, but you saw the audio, you saw his logo. Josh, no one knew what you were going through. How on earth did you find yourself having the energy to sit up and producing content during that?
Well, look, so, like a few people have asked that, and I'm under no illusion that, you know, I'm toting a rucksack through the mountains of Afghanistan here. Like it's pretty easy, yeah. But I will say, that's what stood out to me the most for people who haven't had this. The fatigue was such that even like mustering the energy to just sit in a chair and talk into a microphone, you know, just the mental expenditure, that was actually hard, which I was stunned by. But I mean, I also thought it would be pretty stupid to not put stuff out as we were in the most important stretch of the college football season. So I just imagined myself in June when nothing's going on, wishing that I could have something to talk about. And that was the figurative adrenaline that I put in my veins to keep me going.
There you go. And how are you doing right now, man? What percentage are you? We always hear these stats, right? He's 70%. He's 80%. What is Josh Pate today?
I'm definitely listed as probable for tonight's show. And, you know, I'm going to get out of the car in the parking lot. We'll warm up. And then afterwards, me and my family will make a decision, Mark.
There you go. There you go. Sounds good, brother. Well, I'm happy to hear that you're on the mend, man. Sorry you were going through that. And as the true pro that he is, no one ever knew what Josh Pate was actually going through the last 10 or so days. Okay, big news in the last hour. Gunnar Stockton, the first five-star quarterback commitment ever for the University of South Carolina, has decommitted. Had a close personal relationship with Will Muschamp, with Mike Bobo. Neither of those guys are still there. I've argued this, Josh. I think South Carolina is bottoming out as a program right now. And I've tried to talk Gamecock fans off the ledge by saying sometimes bottoming out in life is good. You realize that you're at bottom and you can only go up from here, and you begin that slow climb up. But certainly this news today seems to have hit all Gamecock fans while they're already down.
I'm talking with a mouthful of oatmeal, so you're going to have to excuse me, Mark. I just thought you were going longer with the question. So poor timing on my part.
No problem. Hey, look, man, I want you to be constantly fueled here. You know,
well,
fuel is good.
Yeah, but I burnt my tongue and that's not good. All right. So this didn't strike me. I think maybe obviously like it struck some Gamecock fans. The second that the coaching move was made and then Bobo left, I just assumed this was going to happen. And so I think that was the best way to go about this. Now, having said that, I agree with your take. I've seen you say that a few times about the program bottoming out. I certainly think that, I mean, that's accurate. And so, you know, the secret here is, are you going to be required to just lay on the ground in that trough for another 2 years? Or is there going to be kind of a spring overall in the program step through spring and then the early recruiting efforts for the 2022 cycle? What can you do in the transfer portal? Like, you know, I think the one thing that changes the potential trajectory of any program that's in that position, the bottoming out position, is the transfer portal in college football. And I think it's going to be something 5 years from now you got a really firm grasp on. You completely know what to expect. You completely know how it works. But right now, it's still kind of a touch and feel process of how quickly can you really overturn a roster. Look at what Mike Norvell's doing at Florida State right now. It feels like they're going to overturn their like 100% of their roster between now and next year. And so, similarly, you completely know what to expect. You completely know how it works. But right now, it's still kind of a touch and feel process of how quickly can you really overturn a roster? Look at what Mike Norvell's doing at Florida State right now. It feels like they're going to overturn their like 100% of their roster between now and next year. And so similarly, I'll really wonder how it's going to go at South Carolina. You know, you'll learn slowly but surely what kind of personnel Shane Beamer wants in there.
Director of video for 24/7 Sports joins us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. More advantageous, Josh. Clemson's position in the ACC, where they are never tested, but then have a system shock whenever they face the caliber of talent you will anytime in the playoff. Or Alabama's case, where they are tested, they are ready for the playoff competition, but you have the risk of missing the playoff every few years. because of the overall strength of the league. Which would you rather? Which position would you rather be in?
I'm the antithesis of most people's answer to this question. I'd 100 times rather be in Alabama's position. And I also know that you and I have talked about sort of this to a degree. You know, I think competitors want to compete at their core. Now, I think it's an average mentality, and there are a lot of average people in the world. That's why the word is average. The average mentality is to seek the path of least resistance. Therefore, I think a lot of people would look at Clemson's path and say, oh, man, they're so lucky. They don't ever get challenged. But yet you're close to that program, so you know what I'm about to say is true. Those guys, when they're going into big games, their eyes are as wide as saucers. They're so looking forward to it because they relish the challenge. And they, deep down in their core, they wish they had more of a challenge in the ACC. Now, they'll never come out and publicly talk about that because it sounds like it's demeaning towards the conference. But I can guarantee you, if you could promise Dabo Swinney a little bit more of a happy medium, maybe a blend between what he has now currently and what he would go through in the SEC, I think he'd welcome a lot of that stuff. I think they'll really look forward to this opener against Georgia coming up in 2021. So I just know when you go through that schedule, yeah, you have a bigger risk of losing games, but I'll tell you what you also have the ability to do. If you got on the recruiting trail a battle between yourself and someone in the ACC, I know of several recruiting battles that have gone the way of a program like Alabama or a program like Georgia because they sell the SEC. And as hokey as you or someone may think it sounds in a commercial or a marketing campaign, it works on the recruiting trail. So I'd take the Alabama option there.
Josh Pate joining us here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. A poll that we have on our station website right now. Best college offense of all time. 2019 LSU, 2020 Alabama. There was some dissent that 95 Nebraska wasn't mentioned here, Josh. But right now it's 54% to 46 in favor of 2020 Alabama. What to you, Josh, made them so incredibly unstoppable?
Well, I think it was the collective, and they've got stars all over the place. But I think really a great microcosm of this, when you say the word offense, obviously there's not one name of a player in that word. It's just the offense as a collective. We've seen programs in the past, like Auburn in 2010 had a good offense. Obviously, if you take Cam Newton off the field, it's a different ballgame. This Alabama team, I want you to think about this. There was a point early in the third quarter last night where they lost Devontae Smith. Okay, Jaylen Waddle's already really not on the field in the second half. And so at that very point in time, Mark, from last year, if you did a year-over-year comparison, from last year at this very time to that moment in time, you would have to take Jerry Jeudy off the field, Henry Ruggs off the field, Jaylen Waddle off the field, Devontae Smith off the field, and Tua Tagovailoa off the field. Jedrick Wills, first-round offensive tackle off the field. Take all those pieces off the field, and they're still operating seamlessly and going down the field. And at the point they lost Devontae Smith last night, they went on to outscore Ohio State by two touchdowns the rest of the game with none of the guys on the field that they had the year before. That is a system. That's an actual offense that, as good as the parts are, it's greater even than the sum of the individual parts.
I found last night, I found the plays that Sarkisian was drawing up to be ingenious. Now, I think Sarkisian is a major beneficiary of the system at Alabama and getting players that are bigger, faster, stronger than anybody else, that are incredibly disciplined. I'm not forecasting, you know, anything for him at Texas at this point, but I just was continuously impressed at the ingenuity and the inventiveness, the different ways that he was getting Devontae Smith wide open. And again, Josh, you were seeing plays that Alabama hadn't shown before, plays that they had prepared just for this Ohio State game. What was your takeaway watching all of the new wrinkles?
Yeah, I was talking to someone on the staff before last night's game, and they were talking about the Notre Dame game. And this is someone who hasn't been at Alabama long. It's more like a sports staff role. And so he said, man, I could not believe it. When I was around this team leading up to the Notre Dame game, it wasn't that they overlooked Notre Dame, but they were going into it almost like it was an inter-squad scrimmage. Like that was the level of hype that they had for the game. And they went in, took care of their business. They said, we had no celebration in the locker room afterwards. It was like people packed their briefcase up and just moved on to the next cubicle. Now, this game was handled obviously a little bit different, but I think what you're saying there is right. The lasting impression for a guy like Devontae Smith that I think will be burned in people's minds last night is when they, you know, they line up three wide to the left, they put him in the slot, and they just run straight past a linebacker for a touchdown. And that's just a personnel mismatch, obviously. But what you're talking about is what I'll remember. How many different little tricks and gadgets they had with those pre-snap orbit motions that just are built to provide angles. To the left, they put him in the slot, and they just run straight past a linebacker for a touchdown. And that's just a personnel mismatch, obviously. But what you're talking about is what I'll remember. How many different little tricks and gadgets they had with those pre-snap orbit motions that just are built to provide angles and to buy space for when he gets the ball in his hands. And then you just have a blessing to have a receiver that talented that all you got to do is get the ball in his hands, then he'll do the rest.
You know, do you actually believe, Josh, there are secrets to his success? Or does he just sweat literally every single detail? Like, how would you explain his success in terms of what differentiates him from other good coaches?
He does the boring stuff the right way. Being around the program and being around a few others, there's not another program that operates like them. What I mean by that, because I think that's obvious, but what I mean by that is when you'll listen to him or when you're listening to the players talk versus listening to other representatives of teams talk, they don't ever talk about tangible goals. They don't ever mention that kind of stuff. They don't ever mention another thing either. They don't mention disrespect. They don't really talk about chips on shoulders. None of that stuff is really the fuel source around there. Why that's important is because once you get on the mountaintop, no one doubts you anymore. No one's disrespecting you. And you make your own motivation source your vulnerability once you get to the mountaintop. It is the biggest storyline with Clemson football to me right now. For a while, they built their identity on being us against the world. We're an underdog mentality. We're kind of an upstart, scrappy program against these giants like Alabama. Well, then you finally beat some of them, and all of a sudden people want to put the crown on your head. And you're trying to convince yourself, you're trying to get yourself up, saying, man, no one thinks we can do this anymore. Well, actually, man, you're an eight-point favorite in this game. Oh, really? Well, how am I supposed to get myself up? Well, they don't have to worry about that at Alabama. That's not the way he's built it. But see, Mark, the mistake I think a lot of folks make is when you hear someone say, well, we're just about the process. We're about process over prize. We're about taking one day at a time. People think that's coach speak. People think that there's really some secret formula, and that's just kind of what you say to a reporter. No, dude, that's a life philosophy. And if you can live it, that's great. But think about the skill you have to possess to get a 19-year-old kid to sacrifice or to completely give up everything he's ever been taught and had put in his mind and adopt your mentality. And then imagine convincing 85 more of them to do it. That's the secret. That's all it is. As easy as that sounds, it's the hardest thing in the world to do.
Buy-in. And buy-in is what Nick Saban does better than anyone else. Josh, if you had to put life savings on the line as the preeminent challenger to Alabama over the next five seasons, one program, who is it?
Are you talking about just in general or in the conference?
In general, all of college football.
I think Ohio State is going to be a problem to deal with for a long time. I love the rosters and the recruiting classes they're stacking on top of each other are going to be phenomenal. There is no wrong answer if you go Clemson there. There's certainly no wrong answer there. I think that's, you know, as much as I'm talking about the blueprint at Alabama, they've got their own unique blueprint that has worked very well at Clemson too. The one that I've got my eye on, because I think the third answer people would give you is Georgia or maybe Oklahoma. I have got a strong eye on Texas A&M. It's going to take them getting the right quarterback in there for people to realize it. But, Mark, the rest of the foundation that A&M's built, they've built it properly. They've stacked recruiting classes. They've built the lines of scrimmage the right way. They're big. They're physical. They don't sacrifice athleticism to get that big physicality. They are one quarterback away from being at the doorstep every single year.
I thought they had that quarterback, though. Didn't you?
No. I think that he's a decorated kid. I think he's very dependable. He was very consistent. But, you know, when we're talking about the caliber quarterbacks you need, whether it be a Mac Jones or whether it be, you know, a supreme athlete like Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Kellen Mond is not that. When they get that guy, and I think they eventually will, whether he's on campus now or will come down the road, that's when all of a sudden people will look at A&M and say, wow, they're actually a player on the national stage now.
What is coming up on Late Kick?
Well, we're going to be back in the studio for the first time in a year, I guess I could say. And so got to remember how to do things live. I hope I don't melt down and you have a little emotional breakdown there. But we're going to talk a lot about the game, you know, where this team stacks up, how to properly appreciate what we just witnessed this season. And then also, I mean, I'm seeing some terrible, terrible takes on how to fix college football. And I think there are several good ideas. I just don't think they're the popular ones. So we're going to talk about that tonight, too.
Awesome. Josh, thank you so much, pal. Continued recovery to you, man. And you sound great. The content, like I told you on Twitter, I never would have known you were suffering the way that you were, man. Continued recovery to you, man. Great to see you back on your feet. All the best to you here in 2021, all right?
I appreciate it, Mark. Had a lot of fun this season.
All right, you too, buddy. Buddy, take care. Josh Pate, Late Kick Josh on Twitter. One of the best people, one of the most talented guys in all of college football. And I just really, really value the friendship. Hope you guys enjoy that interview as well.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Javin Paluk tweets in. He says, Mark, this is going to sound dumb, but how do I text into the show? I've been texting the apparent call-in number. Don't do that. Then he tried the 71307. Do that one. He said, neither seems to work. My prediction for the CFB championship was 52-27 Alabama wins. And he sent a picture. Javin, I'm going to go back and check. You text to 71307. And just make sure you start your text with the word ESPN. If you don't start your text with the word ESPN, we will not see it. It has to start with the word ESPN for it to show up on our screen. That's just the way that it goes, brother. So 71307, text to that number, start your text with the word ESPN, and away you go. How about an abbreviated version of either or, which starts right now? See it. It has to start with the word ESPN for it to show.
The money and the hammer, or you can walk out of here. You can't have both.
You're either sharp or fight.
You either die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
What do you do? What do you do?
All right, Diesel, what do you got?
Would you rather get curb stomped by Alabama twice or play them close once and never have another chance? In the playoffs.
Oh. No, I'd rather play them close once, man. I think I would. Absolutely. You?
Yeah. I don't, you know, you get the respect of playing them close. Not that moral victories mean a whole lot, you know, but at least you get that. You got something like... They'll be talking about you. Hey, that's the team that stayed within 7 points of Alabama. Wow.
More tired in sports, Alabama, college football, or bubble talk in March Madness?
Ooh.
What is more tired?
More tired. I'm not sure that I know what you mean.
Like, it's just tired and lazy, and we're exhausted with it, and... It's run its course and it's worn out. You know what I'm saying?
Well, at least bubble talk, because at least with Alabama, you're talking about a team that's doing it at an extremely high level. When you're talking bubble talk, you're talking like the 65th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th best teams in the country. Like, how much gusto can you muster to talk about the 68th best team in America?
All right. Does this listener have a point? A texter on the text line said, you have to know what your listening audience wants to hear in order to be a good radio host. I promise you that nobody wants to hear another word about Alabama. Now, interesting is this is juxtaposed against, we also see the text coming into Word, right? 106.3 Word in our building, the news talk station. This is juxtaposed against right by it. Is a text to our new host of Words in the Afternoons, Charlie. And it's they say to him, you are so great at your job. I'm really impressed with you being able to handle these crazy people calling in. Thanks. Keep on keeping on. Diesel, does he have a point? Am I doing the wrong thing by talking about Alabama after they won the national title?
I wonder what radio show that guy hosts. Can we get a beat on that? How many years of broadcasting that guy has under his belt? No, you talk about the big stories. And this is the big story. What does he want us to talk about? NBA basketball right now? No, we're not going to talk about that. College basketball, they're all like 8-9 games into their season. That's a nothing burger. You talk about the big story. So that's what we're going to do.
I would ask you, Texter, if for your suggestions on what you would like to hear. And if enough people feel that way, I'd be happy to make that change, all right? And Javin, I will go back and I will check the text line to see if I can find your text from yesterday, all right? We'll close the show with a take-to-take with you, and we'll do so next right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.